and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my good friend, Murray Lightburn of the Deers. Murray has returned to the Regal Beagle podcast, and it's great to have you back, Murray.
Oh, man. I've been waiting for this, bro. I love this so much.
All right.
I actually listen to some of these podcasts when I'm on the road, because I don't listen to music when I'm traveling. I only listen to podcasts. And so I have like 3 or 4 podcasts that I download regularly. It's like, you know, Bill Burr, Chris D'Elia, I listen to him like crazy, and the Regal Beagle podcast.
Oh, what great company.
Yeah, and every time I tell people about this podcast, the Regal Beagle podcast, they like flip out. They're like, what? This exists? I'm like, yeah, man, it totally exists.
That's great. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do this. Season 5, Episode 15, In Like Larry. It aired February 24, 1981, directed by Dave Powers, written by Martin Rips and Joseph Storetsky. Jack gets frustrated at the girls and moves into Larry's place while Larry moves into the apartment with the girls. Murray, what did you think of In Like Larry?
It had a lot of the classic... you know, Three's Company misunderstandings.
Yeah, it did.
One of the classic jokes was when Larry is fixing Cindy's clock. First of all, okay. So this is like, because Cindy is only part of the show for not that long, like just about a season-ish,
yeah,
right?
This is her first season.
Yeah, she's like the sort of like the interim roommate before Terry comes along, right?
Yeah.
So some observations. Number one, Cindy's physical comedy in relation to Jack's physical comedy.
Yeah.
Because she's like super klutzy.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about that part of her character, just like always like borderline or completely hurting Jack somehow. But yeah, one of the jokes that I thought was so classic was Jack walking into the apartment and he overhears Larry fixing Cindy's clock and he says, "I'll have your bell tune ringing in no time." And Jack's face. And, I mean, it's such a classic. And then he walks in on them, and he's actually fixing the clock, and all is revealed. But it's just like, how many times have they done that joke in the series? You know what I mean?
I mean, it is. Yeah, it is classic. And this episode, I found it had like just little classic vignettes in the episode. Like there is like one part where Jack's in Larry's apartment and he's talking to Janet on the phone, and Janet says to come downstairs. And then Jack's reaction when he hangs up the phone is to go, "All right." That is classic Jack Tripper. Yeah. I love that. I forgot about that. So they had little bits like that, and my favorite though was when Furley had a meltdown taking out the garbage in front of Jack.
That's a classic too.
It's so
like,
great.
Like because always puts on this like macho front, this kind of comedic macho front. But we know that he's a pathetic character.
Yeah.
He's a lonely, pathetic character. And like the audience knows how pathetic he actually is. And every once in a while, he lets his guard down and shows us how pathetic he actually is, which is a running joke on the show as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing I was when at the very beginning, when Janet is, when Jack is talking about his swinging shifts or whatever, like how he's working a lot or whatever. And Janet makes fun of him and says, you know, you're swinging with Barbara Allen and swinging with this girl and that girl. And that's the reason for his exhaustion. That's another, when Janet sort of makes those smart alecky remarks to Jack pertaining to his dating, you know, that's a running joke as well. Yeah. That I've seen many times before in the show.
Yeah. I mean, he's known as like a kind of a playboy kind of in the show, but nothing compared to Larry.
Larry's, oh my God. I was just going to say that too, because Larry is relentless on this show. And I was when Cindy comes out with the pom-poms in that nightgown, first of all, like, give me a break.
83 cheers, right? She did 83 yeah. cheers.
But the nightgown she's wearing, like, it's so short.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. For 1981, it was very, very short.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Oh, there was a Furley joke that would never fly now that he made. Oh, yeah. Did you girls have a spat? When he first meets Jack, when he's getting doing the garbage there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because of the whole, like, is Jack still pretending to be gay on the show?
Yeah, he was at all that the way point? To the end, yes.
Jesus yeah. Christ.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That also, in itself, in the series, is just like, oh, my God, that would never in a million years fly.
Yeah, it's
on TV now.
I don't think they're gonna ever air it again, just because of how it is these days, and you know, just how chock full this show had episode to episode of stuff. Like, I'm surprised going through episode by episode how many rape scenes there are, attempted rape scenes.
Oh my God!
In almost every third episode of Three's Company.
Well, there's like. Either that or like some serious sexual harassment,
yeah,
like
yeah.
some like stuff that like you could not get away with.
Yeah.
You know, now in real life.
But the stuff, I mean, for me, the like I mentioned, Furley's tantrum was probably my favorite part of the episode. So, and then again, which I think went over everybody's head, including mine. Rewatching this episode, I realized, mm-hmm. Furley comes in to read a poem about what a friend is. I mean, that was just such an insane thing to put in an episode, where the landlord comes in insisting that his tenant hear him read a poem about what a friend is. I thought was the most absurd thing of the whole episode.
Well, I mean, it's just one of the many layers of Furley, man.
Yeah, he's, you know, deeper than we
all. He's a full blown, fully realized character, and like Don Knotts, he executed that character brilliantly. He's one of the greatest characters on TV of all time. Me and my buddies still talk about Furley, and refer to Furley, and Furleyisms.
Like, I think so
it's
too.
One of the most downplayed. Greatest television characters of all time.
I believe too.
And Don Knotts, like, deserves all the awards for that. I mean, I know he's dead and everything, but he deserves all the awards. Like, he was just so good on that show. That's the other thing that I'm reminded of watching this is how amazing Furley is on the show. Like, just he, like, without him, like, he just elevated the show to another level, you know?
Yeah.
I found, anyway.
I mean, I agree.
He's one of the best things on that show. And there's, like, for example, that one part, Furley with the, when he's hyperventilating, he puts the whole bag on his head. And then he...
It's amazing.
I know, but it's like, that's the, like, that is so classic Furley.
Yeah.
To put the bag on his head and to try to tell you. There's another episode where he does this, like, he's trying to whistle. I don't know if you remember this one. It's like he's trying to give you the signal. I'll whistle something like this. And he can't whistle, and he just keeps doing it. And he, then he gets, just gives it and goes, oh, I'll just scream. Like, that falls in the line of, like, a classic Furley, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
But, you know, something else I observed on a sort of more, maybe not, like, overall sort of, there's a couple things I observed. And, like, I mean, it's mildly, the whole episode is mildly discussing, like, mental health in a obviously a really funny way. But it's weird how, like, because, you know, Jack is, like, especially when Larry is talking about, like, Jack is this close to snapping, you know?
Oh, right, right, right.
And it's, and then it's, what's even more interesting is that, like, you know, maybe Jack just needs some time away from everybody, or, you know, and so he's up in Larry's apartment, and he's all alone, and he's all lonely, and he's just like, he can't even deal with it. So the very thing, and then he gets super, like, not I guess jealous of, like, the situation. It's like he realized, like, the very thing that he says at the beginning of the episode, maybe I should leave, so that they see what they're missing, and maybe they'll appreciate me more. He's the one who winds up appreciating them more, which is interesting to me. It turns out he's the one who needs them. He's the needy one in the relationship with the girls.
Right, right.
Which was, like, kind of like, all of this stuff to me was interesting. Like, that, like, I know I'm going really deep here in this episode, but, like, but you know what I mean, though? Like,
yeah,
it's like, so, like, Jack is, like, having, like, a sort of crisis,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. but then he realizes it's like these people are the people that keep him together. He's the one who's taking them for granted,
right?
Which is, it was super interesting to me. Like, that was, like, kind of a bit of the message of the episode.
That's interesting that you.
It was almost it's almost like a, you know, like, you know, like a children's book that you read, you know, like the moral of the story is you need your friends, you know, like
shit. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. You know? yeah Oh, I see that. Yeah, I mean, he was, in the beginning of the episode, he was the one who was attacking them. He was the
exactly.
one.
Exactly. So, and then it turns out, you know, that he's desperate to be with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, he goes back to his usual Jack ways when, at the end. like, as it, you know, the thing that I wonder is, like, just imagine if it played out, like they said, okay, Jack, let's do this. What would he do in that situation? He'd probably freak out, you know?
Yeah.
He'd probably freak out and run away.
I think there was a few moments in the show where something similar, like, to that happened. And, yeah, he froze. It's all just, he's just all joking all the time.
I mean, I know I'm jumping the gun here, but doesn't something happen a little bit with him and Terry or something? Like, something weird happens with them? Anyway, maybe I'm wrong. Like, not totally romantic, but, like,
there's an episode.
There's a misunderstanding.
Well, there's an episode with Terry where he has a mustache, and it reminds Terry of an old boyfriend.
Yes.
And she falls in love with him.
Yes.
And he's freaked out. Yeah, he's freaked out.
That's the one. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So there you go. There you go. That's our little glimpse into what would happen if Jack got together with the girls.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to handle it.
Oh, what a show, man. What a show.
Well, there's another thing. See, you're finding deep meaning in this whole episode. And
sorry, meanwhile, I can't help myself.
Yeah. The one thing that stood out to me was, why would Larry buy Janet one ticket to the ballet? I thought that was the oddest thing ever.
Oh, wow.
Here's one ticket.
Yeah, you know what? I observed that, but I just kind of glossed over it. Yeah. But now that you bring it up, that is super weird.
So weird, man.
Who goes to the ballet alone?
Like, happily alone, and it's totally fine, but I guess, you know, through the whole series, she didn't really have a boyfriend until the very end. So this is just how she was, and people maybe thought that's how she rolled.
Yeah, I wonder what that's all about. Because that is definitely weird that he buys her one ticket to the ballet.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even offer the idea that, oh, I'll call my friend, you know, so-and-so to go to the ballet, or me and my friend so-and-so. Because I guess it's like on Three's Company, it's just those people.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there aren't a lot of, like, exterior, like, or peripheral characters on that show. Like they're best friends. They do everything together. They live together. And then they go out in the world. They have jobs and interact with those peripheral characters. But those peripheral characters aren't their friends. Like, you know, is Janet at the flower shop at that point?
Yeah, she's at the flower shop all the way till the end.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like she seemingly works there alone. You know, she has no coworkers at the flower shop, mostly, except maybe a boss. But she's not going, you know, it's not like she offered to, like, or like said, oh, I'll go with my boss to the to the ballet. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's super weird.
You know, or that even Larry offers to, you know, like, hey, I bought two tickets to the ballet, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not believable because you'll never find a guy like Larry at the ballet.
Right. So
so it's tied up in a nice little bow, but raises a lot of questions at the same time. Anyway, that's an interesting point that you bring up.
Yeah. But anyways, I mean, what's your final review of this? Thumbs up on In Like Larry?
Oh, I mean, it's a great episode. I think it's not the best episode, but it's definitely up there in being like a standard, like, good episode.
Yeah.
You know, I'll keep watching kind of thing. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Murray, come back next week and knock on our door again.
Absolutely.
We welcome you back here at the Regal Beagle podcast.